Would you turn your Bible to Mark chapter 7? Mark chapter 7. In America, though it's a relatively short period of time, we have many great traditions. First thing I can think of is the 4th of July celebration. Of course, when you have a 4th of July, the food's got to be there, right? Fried chicken, apple pie, hamburger, hot dogs, potato chips, all the good stuff, tasty stuff, doctors said don't eat, right? Macaroni and cheese, it's American food. Followed by baseball, basketball, football, not some cheesy soccer game. Hockey. And of course, we'll go to the Thanksgiving and Labor Day, so on. There are many great traditions. However, listen, this tradition should not override the truth that guides us in living. But there were and are some people who choose to place their own traditions over what God tells us in the Bible. It is known as traditionalism. Traditionalism. Dictionary.com insightfully defines it as followed. Adherence to tradition as what? Authority, especially in the matters of religion. All of a sudden, when it comes to religion, tradition overrides truth, the truth in people's mind. This morning we are going to meet scribes and Pharisees. Those who are the main group of people, religious authorities in ancient Israel. They came down from Jerusalem to the region of Galilee to confront Jesus Christ. Not because he was violating the law of Moses, law of God, that was given to them through Moses, but he was violating their traditions. And they are thinking, how dare you? And so they want to deal with him. In their eyes, Jesus Christ became public enemy number one. Let's stop here and pray. Father, we don't want to put what we like to do in front of your word, your truth. Let us always have a heart to change our course if it goes against your truth. Let our heart be always gentle and soft toward the Holy Spirit's guidance. And let your word come alive in our heart. Let us discard our tradition so that we may not hold truth and hold on to that the tradition over your words. It doesn't matter what kind of tradition that is. Father, always let us look unto you because you have the life. Father, we are asking your anointing to be upon our heart to receive your guidance, your truth, especially the one who speaks and forgive his sin. Father, we also pray for President Obama and all officials, the authority over us, and whatever it takes for them to come to know Christ. And we are praying for an election that your will be done. We are praying for our troops and law enforcement personnel and the firefighters, especially the family and the friends of the fallen soldier, the special forces soldier. Father, we are asking you to comfort them, give them peace during this difficult time. Pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 7 in the book of Mark, please. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples at bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way. Note that, please. A special way. Holding the tradition of the who? Elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there were many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of the cups and pitcher and copper vessels and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples now walk according to the tradition of elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" Stop there, please. This was another official delegation from Jerusalem. We find the first delegation in Mark chapter 3. And they pronounced harsh and condemning judgment against Jesus Christ. This delegation came down from Jerusalem, haven't met Jesus yet, but they already decided what the Jesus is going to be and how wrong he is. See, the concept of the evaluating Jesus' ministry was fine. It is their job as a Pharisee, as the pretty much the police of the spiritual condition of the nation. They are supposed to do this. But they did not evaluate Jesus against the measure of God's word. But they measure Jesus against the measure of their own tradition. In other words, they are putting their traditions over God's word. Are you following me? These religious leaders speak of elaborate ceremonial washings, not washing for the sake of cleanliness or personal hygiene. The observant Jews of that time strictly observed the rigid and extensive ritual of washing before the meal. And you may say, what's wrong with the washing? Nothing. Nothing wrong with washing. But their washing is not really for the cleansing. They have this special vessel, stone vessel, that holds the water. Not any water, because it might be defiled. So they have this water, and they get the water out of from this stone vessel, about egg and a half, that amount of water. And they pour it on the finger, somebody pour the water like this, from the fingertip, and then drip on the wrist. And once that's done, make a fist and go like this and rub it against the palm. And then they do that each hand. This time, since the defiled thing went to the wrist, they do it backward from water, from the wrist to the finger. Is it really cleansed? Is it really cleansed? Is it all the germs gone? No. It's just their mindset that now that hands is holy to eat food. The rigid, really orthodox Jews, they would do this in between the course of the meals. That's going to be a very long meal, right? For me, it. If they were as concerned about the cleansing their hearts as they were about their hands, they would be godly people. It is all about the ceremony. It is all about ritual, not real process of cleanliness of the heart. Listen, we always want to think that some ritual, some step we can take would make us more holy. So I say, well, if we pray a little longer today, after we pray a little longer, more intensely, we pray, and then we say, oh, yes, I am holy today than yesterday because I prayed. And I read the Bible, Psalm 119, all together. Wow, I am really holy, really close to God. About the same level as God. Really? No. And somehow people think that, well, I went to church, so I should be in good side with God. Holy side, the righteous side. There's one word for that. Wrong. Jesus made it clear in the Sermon on the Mount from the Matthew chapter 5 through 7 that true holiness is a matter of inward affection to him and attitude, not just outward actions and association. Do you understand that? Has nothing to do what we do outside. Outside will follow if we follow him obediently from inside. It comes from inside to outside, never outside to inside. It is true that some traditions are helpful to as a reminder of our rich heritage, or as a glue to bind generations. But we must constantly be aware that a tradition should not take a place over truth from the Word of God. It does us good to examine our church as well as individual traditions in light of His Word, the Bible, and be courageous enough to correct if we are wrong. Instead of insisting that I've been doing this for all this time, so it's got to be right. No. If we are doing something wrong all this time, I need to change. You need to change. Go down to verse 6, please. Jesus answered and said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written?" Jesus is making a lot of friends here. "These people honor me with his lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me and teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, washing of the pitchers and cups and many other such things you do." He said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death." Teenagers, are you listening? "But you say, if a man say to his father and mother, 'Whatever profit you might have received from me is korban,' that is, gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for you, his father or his mother, making word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down. And many such things you do." Jesus defended his disciples and systematically exposed the hypocrisy of their accusers. The first thing he did was quoted from the prophet Isaiah 29:13. Then he brought the law of Moses in Exodus 20 and 21. Of course, that's the Ten Commandments to them. How could the Pharisees argue with Jesus when it comes to law and prophecy? They couldn't. The Jewish religious leaders came to honor their tradition far above the Word of God. You may say, that was ancient. That was the first century. We never do that kind of thing. Really? We still do. People still do. Even within the rank of Christianity. Some believers would rather honor their denomination rules and regulation more than God's word. They are the ones who tell congregation that their denomination's guideline is more important than what the Bible says. And it should be honored above the Bible. And then they said the Bible is no longer relevant. I read an article that Herb Perez sent it to me, and it was a president of, am I correct, Herb, where are you? Oh, I couldn't see you. Sorry. Was it the American Baptist University? Okay. President of American Baptist University invited the lesbian speaker to the university so that she can speak about homosexualism. Of course, many people went uproar. And he said, "You guys are Bible idolatry, worshiping the Bible. Jesus put this word before his name. Who is wrong in God's eyes? That man." Do you think that people don't do that anymore? They still do. This Word of God is relevant. This guy, Word of God has a final authority, has a absolute truth. Remember I said this, I will say it many more times. Whenever you argue with this book, you are wrong. Let me say this. Some denominations emphasize that speaking in tongue is so important that you have to speak in tongue, otherwise you are not really saved. Or if they don't go that far, they will say, well, you are not really, you know, high class Christian. You must be second class or inferior Christian. Wrong. And some other denominations said, well, you are really not saved because you haven't been baptized in our church by our denomination. Where do you find that in the Bible?
Where?
As a matter of fact, speaking in tongues is the least important gift, spiritual gift. As a matter of fact, Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians said, I don't remember if I baptized anyone other than this people. If the baptism is that important, Apostle Paul will say, if you don't get baptized, if I don't dunk you in the water, you ain't saved. Wouldn't he tell us that? And then there's some denomination said, well, you know, the bread and the fruit of the vine we take on the communion. They said, well, this became a really, actually, the body of, it became the body of Christ as well, I handed to you, known as transubstantiation. Where do you find that? It's a symbol. Remind us, this is the body that broken for us, the bread, and it's the blood that shed for us. Don't ever fall into that kind of garbage. And you may say, did you just call their doctrine garbage? Yes, because it's wrong. Verse 14, when he had called all the multitude to himself, Jesus, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man. Get this. Don't trust what I said, what Jesus said. There's nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile man. The things which come out of him, those are the things that defiles man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. This is not to say there's not a defiling thing that can take us down, such as we take it in, like a pornography. If any of you looking at the pornography and you are into that thing, you're taking in all the garbage in. Are you with me? And you may say, well, it doesn't harm anybody. Is it wrong or right? If it's not wrong, why are you hiding it? Answer me. If it's not wrong, why are you hiding? And illegal drugs. By the way, this marijuana thing. Side story, no extra charge. Marijuana is a gateway to all the other drugs. When you legalize that thing, you're pretty much legalizing all the other drugs along the way. You may say, well, it helps. It helps what? To numb your feeling? Before I became a pastor, I was a lay pastor at the prison ministry. I dealt with a lot of dope addicts for 12 years. I've seen, they have one thing in common. They all start with marijuana. If you're doing marijuana, you need to stop. You need to stop. I don't care what kind of garbage excuse you have. You need to stop. All right, back to this teaching. In this specific context, Jesus spoke out a ceremonial cleanliness in regard of the food, and he anticipated when all the food declared clean. So you are allowed to eat bacon, and you are allowed to have a pork chop. And some people say, well, we are not supposed to have that thing because it says it's not kosher. Are you Jew? Are you living in the Old Testament? Then why are you driving a car on Sabbath, that Saturday? If you cannot drive more than, you cannot go travel more than half mile. Food or unwashed hands do not make our heart unclean, because they are already unclean to begin with, especially our heart, due to our sinful nature. The only way we can have our heart cleansed is through the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Our Lord's reply to their charge began with their accusation against them. Korban, which means the gift of God, as the Bible says, It is nothing more than a legal loophole so that they don't have to support their own aging father. Let me explain a little more. Let's say here's my parents, and they're aging. I have to be careful how old they're aging. And they're aging, and they said, Son, can you sell all those cattle that you have in that ranch and support us? He said, oh, Mom and Dad, I would love to, but they're Korban. They're gift of God, so I cannot sell them to anyone. Legal loophole. You know what it does? It sounds pious that they're a gift of God, but in reality, I don't want to support my mom and dad who raised me and took care of me all this time. It's their legal loophole. So religious tradition deals with the ritual. I want you to understand this. Religious tradition deals with the ritual while the God's truth deals with the reality. Tradition brings empty word to the lips. Truth penetrates the heart and changes the life. Actually, tradition robs a person from the power of the Word of God. You follow me? Go down to verse 17, please. When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, are you thus without understanding? Also, in other words, he said, are you that dense? Because they are not paying attention. Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from the outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart but his stomach and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods? And he said, what comes out of man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders and theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, rudeness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, defiles a man. Anyone who is not falling into that category, we all are, because we are sinful human beings until Jesus saved us. Jesus declared boldly to the multitude that sin comes from the heart, not from the eating. It is what comes out of man's mouth that defiles us, not what goes in. Again, our memory verse, Matthew chapter 12, 34, please. Matthew 12, 34. Turn to right, left, find chapter 12 in the book of Matthew. Jesus is really gentle here. He gently spoke. Speaking, brood of vipers, can you tell? How can you, being evil, speak good things? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A lot of times, what your really heart is, when you strike your thumb with a hammer. You follow me? The first word out of your mouth, when something happened, traumatic thing happened. If that word is all these symbols, like in comics, you know, tic-tac-toe sign with a squiggly sign, all this thing, that's how your heart operates. If your first word is ouch and stop there, then you become better. You know how to control your mouth. Jesus' explanation seems obvious to us because we have the Bible. But to these disciples, it is kind of foreign because they were raised with a strict kosher law. What to eat, what not to eat, which food is clean, which food is not clean. Even the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 10, remember he was snoozing on top of the house? And in his vision, the food came down on the white sheet from heaven. And God says, eat it. And he said, oh no, God. Peter always telling God what to do. These are unclean. I'm not going to eat it. And the Lord said, do not call unclean when God says clean. It's not just chapter 10 of book of Acts that Jesus said all foods are clean. He already declared here all foods are clean because he provides for us. The dramatic lesson on truth versus traditionalism could only irritate the Jewish religious leader more and make them want to silence Jesus once and for all. This increased opposition was the reason he departed from the region of Galilee, went into the Gentile territory. Why did he do that? Object lesson. Go down to verse 24, please. From there he arose and went into the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house, wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard about him. In other words, this young girl had a demon possession. She came and fell at his feet. The woman was Greek, Syrophoenician by birth. She kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first. For it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Note that word, little dogs. And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come out of the house, she found the demon gone out, and her daughter lying on the bed. Stop there, please. Not only did Jesus teach no foods unclean, and he is declaring that there's no difference between Jewish people and the Gentile people. To make that point, he took his disciples to the Tyre and Sidon. Here's Capernaum. That's where Jesus hung around, in a way, kind of headquarters of the northern side of the Sea of Galilee. And here is Tyre. It's about 36, 37 miles. And Sidon is close to 50 miles, way up there. It's the Gentile territory. It's Syrophoenician territory. Orthodox Jews would not even go near there because it's a defiled area. In their mind, it's no-no. You may say that Tyre reminds me somebody. Yeah, it should. According to 1 Kings chapter 16, Queen Jezebel, that's her home. Why did he go there? Object lesson. Also, he had a divine appointment with this particular Syrophoenician woman to heal her daughter from demons, set her free. Because of their pagan idol worship in that region, her daughter was exposed to that idol worship that was controlled by demons. So please, listen to me, please. Please don't get into New Age concept, yoga, transcendental meditation practice with a Christian packaging. Somebody told me, "How about Christian yoga? How about Christian Buddha?" Just because you add something in the Christian word in front of that doesn't make justify. No matter what kind of name or who endorses, they are from the pit of hell. And you may say, "What's wrong with the yoga? It's a stretching exercise." Then do the stretching exercise. Don't get into yin-yang garbage and yoga mentality, philosophy. It is extremely dangerous. And you may say, "How do you know?" I'm from there. Orient. I know you think that I'm from southern Sweden because of my hair color, my eyes, you know. And it's easy to think that I'm from Sweden. The previous incident shows Jesus wiping out the distinction between the clean and unclean food. Can it be that in symbol, we have him wipe out the difference between Jews and Gentiles here? Yes. At the same time, Jesus, in foreknowledge, knew that this Gentile woman would come to him. He wanted to challenge her faith. So, come on, come to me. For the Jews, One of the worst things somebody called can that Jew is a dog. You dog. I know. I call some of you guys, hey, big dog. That's cool thing in our term, right? Don't ever call Jewish person, you dog. Now you have a fist fight. That is the ultimate insult. So is Jesus saying that this woman, you scum, get out of my face? No. What he meant is a little puppy. Endearing way to say a puppy. It's easy for us to think that Jesus was just giving her a hard time. In my opinion, it is a stark comparison between the religious Jewish leaders who have been studying the Old Testament day in, day out in their lives, completely missed out on a great opportunity to greet Jesus, who is God incarnate. And this Gentile woman, who is considered as worthless by the Jews, came to Jesus with genuine faith in him. Jewish religious leaders, they had religion without God in their hearts. But this Gentile woman had God in her heart without religion. You following me on that? Forget the religion. Forget everything that you are supposed to do. You have to do this kind of thing to get close to God. No, there's one thing. Simple faith in Jesus Christ. Speaking of praying for one's child to the Lord, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, you may have a wayward child or grandkid. They walked away from the Lord, and they're doing prodigal son and daughter's thing. Don't give up on them. Continuously praying them to Jesus. Would he listen to your persistent prayer for them? Yes. 1,000 times, yes. He is willing to grant your prayer request. How do I know? Because he wants them to be saved. If your son and daughter come to their senses like a prodigal son, God will speak to their heart, return to him and to you. They have to make that their decision first. Come to sense. So don't stop praying for them. You hear me? Don't stop praying for them. It is significant that the 2 times in the gospel it is recorded that Jesus commanded great faith to Gentiles, not to the Jews, not to the Jewish religious leaders. First one, this woman, Syrophoenician woman and Roman centurion, because they came to him without religion, just simple faith. All right, 2 applications. What about having a great faith? Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. How do we have a great faith? Here it is. Great faith is the faith that takes God at his word and will not let it go until he meets the need. Great faith can lay hold of even his slightest encouragement and turn it into a fulfilled promise from him. And the Bible is filled with a great encouragement from him. 2nd application. God is not impressed with any type of self-formatted religion. If you have a religion in your heart, discard it. I don't care what it is. I don't care how smart you are. Child can come to Christ better than you can. I can. Because that child usually have a simple faith. And it is no wonder, let the little one come to me. But Jesus loves to see us coming to him in a simple faith in him and humility and what? Dependence. That's right.